All right, we're still just a little bit away from Tony joining the show, so Sam is sticking around with us, whether he likes it or not. We're gonna talk. We're gonna do a little bit of a roundup here on the sports news of the day. But first, Patty McGuire on the chat says, "Big fan of the show. It's my twin's B-day today. Would be great if you can give him a shout out. His name is Mike, and I'm Patty. Go Padres! So happy birthday to Mike and the other twin, I guess. So that's good." Do you have any twins in your family, Sam? Or
nope.
No. Oh, we do. We do. We have a couple twins in our family. It skipped our family, thankfully. But I mean, twins aren't bad or anything. It just seems like a lot for a first time parent to have to handle.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Yes, happy birthday. All right. Let's start with this, Sam. There is a pitcher named Jeffrey Yan. And he is a non-roster invitee, an NRI guy, as AJ Cassavell would say. And he has an interesting way of celebrating a strikeout. So here is, I'm going to put this on the stream, but Jeffrey Yan is a lefty. And what he does after he strikes someone out is basically does the splits while he's doing it. So here is what it seems like, or looks like.
On set, here's his next pitch. Strike three called.
He
caught the outside corner, and like we were told
knee.
He was going to do, he jumps up in
the
air
and
does the splits nearly. Again, to look to second, to pitch, swing, and a miss with a pitch in the dirt. And there's the jump and the splits by Yan again,
so
after second strikeout in the inning.
Sam.
Here they go, pitch. Strike three called. It caught the outside corner.
I don't know that I've ever really seen this from a major league pitcher, but I guess he's not a major league pitcher. Anyway, he says, "It's not going anywhere, Sam. I am not going to change the way I play just because people think it's a little bit different," which I say, go, good for you. But at the same time, you are a non-roster invitee.
Yeah, I want to know how he did. Let me see here.
Good point.
How did he actually do?
Well, he struck out two guys, so.
He had a scoreless inning, gave up a hit, walk. No run. So he did have a scoreless inning. It's entertaining.
It is. But can you imagine this after every single strikeout?
It's a little wild.
Do you think...
I have to imagine that that hitters have not liked this, because that's excessive after strikeouts.
That's now, exactly what I was thinking.
I don't mind emotion in the game. I don't mind celebrating. I don't mind bat flips. I like all of it. I don't mind pitchers celebrating at all, but... Yeah, the hop and split and fist pump after every strikeout could, I would think, would wear on the opposition after a little bit.
The splits look, first off, it's not a full split. He like stops himself from going all the way down to the mound, but then he does this weird like grab the dirt and ha! Yeah, but I think hitters would have a huge issue with that, Sam. Huge issue. All right, some other stuff that's going on around sports. The NFL... I think Tony and I are going to try to get into this more in depth a little bit later, but the NFL has released one of my favorite things that they release all year long, and that would be NFLPA player grades for each team. And there are a few surprises this year, Sam, and at the bottom of the player grades, we have the Patriots at 31st in the league, like 31st worst graded team in the league. So here's the bottom five: the Steelers, the Jets, the Browns, the Patriots, and the Cardinals. And now what they're asked to like vote on is different sort of things that the franchise does, like treatment of families, the food dining area, nutritionist, locker room, training staff, weight room, strength coaches, stuff like that. And the Arizona Cardinals ownership is another one that's in there, which I think is hilarious. The Arizona Cardinals every single year have terrible grades, and it's no different this year. Their locker room grade from the players, Sam, F-.
I didn't know there was such thing as F-.
That's how bad, I guess, their locker room is. F-. The Falcons, on the other hand, one of the highest rated teams in football. A's basically across the board. Ownership gets an A. Team travel even gets a B+. But if you go to some of these other teams, like what surprises me is the Chiefs. Last year, the Chiefs were a bottom five team. And This year, they're not a bottom five team anymore, but they're still getting to the Super Bowl every single year. When their locker room gets a D-, their training room gets a C-, their training staff gets a C, and the food and dining area is fine. But anyway, I'm surprised that they're able to get to the Super Bowl each and every year when they don't have the best facilities.
Mm. Yeah, you know, what's interesting, and I don't know that I ever realized this, is that I've always seen these report cards. I did not realize these were actually from the NFLPA.
Yeah.
Like, I'm on the NFLPA website right now. I mean, this is pretty remarkable that this is an NFLPA product, and they have little summaries for each team and get into each part of it. This is fascinating. Jets ownership. F.
And by the way, Tony Gwynn Jr. joins us here on 97.3 The Fan.
Sorry, is it where does it have ownership on this?
Although you have to click the arrows at the top, the red arrows, it goes all the way to the right. Kevin O'Connell got an A+ as a coach, so that's great. I love that. But anyway, Tony, hello. You love the NFLPA stuff too.
Yes, I do. It's always interesting to see how the players view their organizations. And it just goes to show you that some of these guys, they're built like they don't need all of the good stuff. As you keep mentioning the Chiefs, I mean, they keep having all this mid grade
basically
on everything, and they still go out and they perform. But it is interesting to see that a lot of the teams that are in turmoil are all getting like F's. they're getting bad grades, a la the Jets.
Does it surprise you guys that the Patriots got an F in ownership and basically rank, well, they're second to last in the league, according to this survey? That surprises me a lot.
I mean, no. I mean, they weren't a good football team. They haven't been a good football team.
Yeah,
and you know,
they had a one and done coach, you know, which I think is pretty rare. I mean, that indicates things are kind of top to bottom, probably not going all that well.
I agree.
The bittersweet thing, not even bittersweet, but the Chargers last year ranked 30th around the NFL in rating, and this year they jumped all the way up to 5th. I don't know what changed in one year.
The head coach changed, and they were changed. I mean, I can see that. A head coach can come in and change all of that, you know?
But the facilities?
A head coach can come in and convince ownership that, hey,
okay,
we really need to do this, like, you know, that type, especially if ownership is the one that bought into bringing the head coach in the first place. They may be willing to listen to a coach at that point.
Yeah, I mean, Jim Harbaugh does hold that power.
Huh?
He does hold that power, Jim Harbaugh.
For now. I mean, it's temporary. You don't get to keep the power. They eventually snatch it back from you when they get ready to, so...
Speaking of the Chargers, Jim Harbaugh, 55% of Chargers players feel their head coach is efficient with their time, which is the last in the NFL. Like, I guess Jim Harbaugh makes players feel like he wastes a bunch of their time.
I can also see that, too. He seems like he would get lost on a drill and just, like, keep going, and I could totally see him doing that.
Just philosophizing in the middle of the drill.
Sure.
The top five head coaches were Atlanta's Raheem Morris, the Vikings' Kevin O'Connell, Kansas City's Andy Reid, and Chris would hate this because we all know why the Miami Dolphins love Mike McDaniels, because he's not tough on them. He's soft.
Oh, Mike McDaniels was fourth?
He was fifth. He was an A-plus head coach. So, I'm sorry. Dan Quinn was A-plus. That rounds out the top five. So Dan Quinn was number one. But I'm going to go through this with a fine-tooth comb tonight because I love looking at all of this stuff. It's amazing. What would you say, Tony, is an amenity that you had in your playing career that you would need if you, like, you know what I'm saying? That was a bad way of asking that question. Never mind. I'm going to withdraw the question. I'm going to not talk about it anymore because I don't know where I was going with that.
Let me ask a question, and maybe this is what you were getting at.
Okay.
Tony, what is something that you would have liked during your playing career, or maybe even something that they have now that you would have liked during your playing career? Anything that you missed or you feel like you missed out on?
I missed out on all the like information for sure.
Oh, yeah, that analytics. That would have been
helpful understanding how to use it, right? Or how picking what applied, you know, to me in terms of what the pitcher's doing, that kind of thing. You know, I think that kind of information would be great to have. I also think treatment and recovery is so much different now. They don't use ice in today's like that. They have when I was playing, pitchers had. I mean, they used to walk around with like these big things of ice on their shoulders and their elbows. They don't even do that no more because research says it's not necessarily aiding the recovery process. So, like, there's just so many things that I see now that I'm like fascinated about. I was the type of guy that if I was in the training room, I wanted to learn about why things were happening and so that I can prevent it and be able to take care of myself, you know, better. Mm. And so now these guys got so much more, I mean, technology and different devices that help with recovery. I would love to be a part of all of that.
Mm. I mean, you didn't even play that long ago, so it's like it's crazy that all
That's
of this
what I'm
is
saying.
Developed.
It doesn't seem like that. That's 10 years now. This would be
still not that long ago.
That's still the 10th year, but still, like that stuff is. I mean, these guys, and I think they maximize it. These guys use that. They use this stuff. They help. They understand what it takes to kind of get it through a year, you know?
Yeah.
Watch a guy like Joe Musgrove, you know, go through a season. He's very in tune with his body and what he needs. And I think that's the stuff I paid attention to as a player. I tried to.
The Bills got an F- in travel. Last thing I'll talk about. The reason? They say they don't have enough room on the plane. How can you not get these guys room on the plane?
These dudes in there cramped up. Now, we shouldn't say that. They might know that everybody else has, like, different sizes, and they may want to have a small one that might, to the normal person, might be like, oh, this is super spacious. But
it says that they were made to sit in the smaller seats during travel last year with coaches and auxiliary staff sitting in first class.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine football players having a hard, difficult time on the regular seats.
That is true. I can't wait to go through this a little bit more because there's gems like that all over the place. All right. That is it for our guy, Sam Levitt. Thank you, Sam, for joining us today. You'll see us one more day tomorrow. And
see you tomorrow.
Yes. When we get
Thank you, Sam.
When we get back, we'll catch up with Tony on 97.3 The Fan. Back here on 97.3 The Fan, Tony Gwynn Jr. is here. Sam Levitt has departed. I am still here as well. We will be doing a Big Five here at the end of the hour, and we will also be talking to Michael Flix later in the show. He's going to join us at 5:40 to talk about these high school basketball playoff games. And then you're still going to hear from Ben and Woods. They sat down with Luis Arraez this morning from spring training. And everybody who's told me about this interview, Tony, has said that Luis Arraez was awesome during the interview. So I'm looking forward
to
hearing
that. He was funny. I
was
out there when he was doing the interview. Yeah, when he got up and smacked Woodsy in the chest.
I saw that.
And it was very low energy. It wasn't the same one Macias gets, but...
No,
it was a good interview though. Just listening to it,
even though Woods was like, he was trying to, you know, after he got slapped in the chest, he was trying to like play it off, like, "Oh, that didn't hurt." I didn't. It looks like it hurt on the video that I saw.
It definitely stung. It may not have hurt, but it stung that initial.
Why did he do that?
He asked him to do it.
No. I mean, why does he do that during the game? Because Macias probably is like, "Stop slapping my chest every time you get on base."
Nah. It's just. I don't know. He was doing it in Miami.
Ah.
He was slapping chess there too.
Okay. Well, then that's his thing, slapping chess. We'll get back into that 5:20. But today's game, not really much to write about. Tirso Ornelas had a good day. Alec Jacob had a good outing. We talked about him earlier. We saw some DeVries today. So, what were your thoughts?
Tirso is impressive. He came in off the bench, had a laser left. He moves well in the outfield, much better than I thought he would. He runs well. He's not like a burner, but he can pick him up and put him down for a guy his size. So he's impressive, man. He's 500 so far, 5 for 10, I think 4 extra base hits. He's looked good. Forrest Wall had himself a nice little day today. These are all guys that are in that left field competition. Connor had himself had a double today.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody who's competing for that spot, for the most part, all playing pretty well. And that's kind of what you want. On the pitching side, who we have today? You mentioned
Jacob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he threw the ball really well. He didn't just throw the ball well. He looked like, he had a different confidence about him throwing the ball. It's still that same, 86, 87, but he was throwing the baseball with conviction today.
Like,
which was nice.
He has the big league look to him. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if he had the big league look, but he certainly threw the ball like he was confident. He knew what he was doing out there. That's the kind of, that's what he was kind of giving off, which I thought was awesome.
Sam actually talked to him this morning. He said he's going to post this. He's going to post their interview either tonight or tomorrow morning. But Ryan Burgert had a nice day. I don't know what the role for Ryan Burgert here is in spring training. I mean, can he come out of nowhere and get this fifth spot? Or
they gave him 2 starts, bruh.
That's true.
They gave him 2. And he's pitched well in both. And so, I don't know where he's at, or if he probably is starting to open up some eyes a little bit. And this ain't even, we haven't even seen all of the contestants yet, so to speak, for that fifth spot.
That's true. Jason Adam had he had a nice day today. I mean,
it was nasty.
Pitching has been pretty good for the Padres so far.
The pitching has been good. I said that at the end of the game today. The pitching has been impressive, outside, especially the dudes that are competing for the big league spots. They've all thrown the ball really well. And so, even Randy, he was, as Schulte said, he was playing traffic cop.
Yeah.
And he did a good job of it. So everybody's, this has been a good competition so far.
Yeah.
The other thing that stood out is that, my guy Will, he's got a lot of work. Him and his staff have a lot of work. Will Venable, manager of the White Sox, got a lot of work.
Did you catch up with him today?
I didn't get a chance to. Their locker room is on the right side, and you come in and there's not an opportunity to get down there. So, but yeah, they got a lot of work. I mean, Padres won that game. I mean, not that we're counting, but they won that game because there was 4 errors on the other side.
I did see that at the end.
Two of them led directly to run. So.
But that's spring training, right, Tony? This is the time to make the errors.
It is, but it's also indicative a little bit of how they've played in the regular season going back last year. Remember, they broke a record last year. So.
Not a good record. Not a good record at all. All right, that's what happened today. But Luka last night and the Lakers. Luka was inspired playing the Dallas Mavericks. So what are you thinking?
I it was a good win. Luka didn't play that. He didn't shoot the ball that well. I mean, he struggled from the field again. But that's the really nice thing about having a Luka Doncic on your team is that he can do other things. Double, triple double. He still had 19 points. He dropped, 12 dimes? I think he was, 15 boards or something like that. I mean, that is, and he did it against the team. And it was interesting to hear him say after the game that, he was glad it was over.
Like, yeah, I did hear that.
It wasn't as though he was out for blood, because he clearly seemed like he was ready to get out. Now, I do think, going back to Dallas, he's going to try to, as I said, he's going to try to put on a show there.
Different story because, when he goes to Dallas.
Exactly. Because there's a chance he could have their fans cheering for him.
That's crazy. That is insane.
If he's doing one of those Luka games, it's going to be all bad for my man Nico.
How many Luka Laker jerseys do you think we'll see out there in the audience?
Well, the Lakers, L.A. Laker travel? Fans usually travel, especially to Dallas. It's been notorious for having a gang of Laker fans in there.
Yeah. I was reading this thing earlier today from J.J. Redick, and he was being asked about Anthony Davis, who obviously went in the trade to the Mavericks. And he was just saying that he really appreciates Anthony Davis because Anthony Davis is an accomplished NBA player, and he could have felt some type of way about a guy with no coaching experience coming in and trying to coach him and LeBron and the Lakers, but Anthony Davis was extremely welcoming towards him. He was very good to him, and J.J. Redick wanted people to know about that.
I got to give J.J. Redick a lot of credit. Not for his, yes, for his coaching, but I remember he used to say a lot of things when he was an analyst that used to really irritate me. But he has stayed true to a lot of the same things that he has said as an analyst on what he would do, how he would do it. You know what I'm saying? He always was critical of the kind of negativity about the league. He was always critical about how you have to approach players. And that was one of the things that used to kind of bother me, but I respect it a lot because he seems to have carried the same kind of ideas that he had as an analyst and he's doing as coaching. And it's pretty effective, I must say.
Yeah, they seem to be really rallying around that. And I think other teams are going to look at this and be like, whoa.
Well, I think this particular group of Lakers respects coaches that have it together when it comes to the X's and O's of this thing. Clearly, he has the knowledge because these dudes are bought in. I don't know that I've seen a team as bought in since, you know, they won the title in 20. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
they seemingly are, whatever JJ is asking them to do, they are 100% bought into it. And I think it goes to show you that's a large part of having success as a team is everybody like actually pulling the rope in the same direction.
You know, that job is a tough one to even take because you're coaching now LeBron James and the Lakers. Like, it's not a stress-free job in any stretch of the imagination.
If I were in JJ, if my spirit was in JJ Redick's body, I would be I would be waiting for the moment where I could get my lick back on Charles Barkley for saying that he was a dead man walking.
Yes, yes, I do.
I'll be thinking about it every day. And you know what? That's probably not what you should be doing, is thinking about your revenge and get back. But I know there's a piece of him that's like, oh, don't let me get to a championship.
Because walking, he doesn't really.
That would be a great finals. Like if you won the championship, you know, to get the mic out. That would be a great, great one-liner right there.
And JJ, I don't think, is a guy who would shy away from dropping that one-liner whatsoever.
I don't think he would either.
If it's deserved, he'll do it.
For sure.
And it will be hilarious. Sure. All right. When we get back, we have the Big Five. Did you see this Amen Thompson thing?
Yes.
Where he pulled Giannis down by the back of the head, basically. Or, like, he grabbed him and he pulled him down to the ground. Well, we're going to talk about that also. The Bears GM Ryan Poles thinks that Ben Johnson is the right guy for the job, but my question to us is...
I hope so. He did hire him.
Good point. Who has more pressure for success this year, Caleb Williams or Ben Johnson? So those are some of the Big Five topics when we get back on 97.3 The Fan.
4:35 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Crisello, and the Lady Aztecs with the early morning victory.
Oh, I was just about to go look and see what they did.
Yeah, they won. I think they came back. They were down, I think, as much as 15. Came back, got the victory. They earned, I believe, a bye in the tournament. So, kudos to the Lady Aztecs for a terrific finish to the season so far.
Wow, you're right. They won by 3. They were down, 25 plus 18? 25 plus 20 is 45. 43 to 28 at halftime. There you go. That's 15 that you accounted for.
this guy is just repeating everything I just said.
And as soon as I said the 15, I was like, wait, Tony just gave me that number. But they did outscore Air Force in the fourth quarter, 23-10, so.
Oh, okay.
That's Thank new for information that there, for you buddy. Over there.
Good job. we have a big five to get through. Is traffic ready?
Yes, it is. It is.
Let's go to traffic and then get to our big five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, before we get into it, this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Jack in the Box. Jack in the Box's new crispy boneless wings have so much more crunch than the competition, you won't be able to think about soggy nugs ever again. I think I may be taking a trip to Jack in the Box a little bit later. No, SD Fatlaw says no, I will not.
Number five.
You literally just heard a battle in my head that I have almost every day.
That was real.
That was real. Every single day. All right, let's get into it. And we're going to start with this foul from Amen Thompson, who plays for the Houston Rockets. Now, the Rockets were playing the Bucks, and Amen Thompson took Giannis Antetokounmpo down pretty hard last night. Here is what it sounded like and what it looked like during the game.
Drop step, spin, and hard foul.
Oh, yeah, he gets him right here.
So he grabs him near the throat and kind of pulls his face down behind him. And then slaps down as well, too. Sorry, what?
We don't need your commentating. They were explaining it in real time there.
I'm a little too excited, Tony, about this. All right, so there's Amen Thompson and his foul. He was ejected from the game. They came back and they said...
I feel like you're saying his first name wrong, but I can't quite tell you what it is. But
I mean, I went to Catholic school growing up. Amen is like, that's how it's spelled.
Okay, go ahead.
Should I call him Amen?
I think that's what it is, but go ahead.
Okay, I'll call him Amen. I want to call him by the name. I don't want to just call him
something. I was just doing what you would do for me if I was mispronouncing someone's name.
Thank you. All right, to the question. Giannis said, no hard feelings. He loves this. He thinks this is good for the NBA. This is going to prove to people that the NBA is not soft. But, Tony, was this ejection worthy?
In today's NBA, yeah. I mean, this is how they play, you know. I think that's probably less than what Kurt Rambis, when he got clotheslined in 84, and it was just two shots, right? So I think it was just a different game. So was it worthy of an ejection in this game? Yes, it was worthy of an ejection. You can't. And listen, I think he would have been fine if he would have just came down hard and left it at that. But he kind of hooked my man's neck and head and then kind of like pushed it down.
It was
threw
aggressive.
It down. So I mean that when you slow that down, it looked way worse. And so, yeah, it was worthy.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And he knew he messed up. But if you watch the whole clip when he's ejected and he's going off, you can see like in his face like, dang, I
messed up.
I went too far. Yeah.
He was saying. I don't know if he actually said this after the game, but coming out of the Rockets locker room, they were saying, like, hey, he was just trying to make sure Giannis didn't get up and get the basket.
He did, but then he added some extra hot sauce on it, and that's what got him ejected.
Yeah.
It wasn't the initial keeping him from scoring, but it was like the hook and like throw down, like, ugh, get out of here.
Yeah, the punch kind of. It was a lot. All right.
Number number four.
The NFL Combine is creating some Big Five news stories, and this one is going to dominate headlines until next year, I think. Bears GM Ryan Poles said that he thinks new head coach Ben Johnson is the right guy for the job. Quote, I really believe that his relationship with Caleb is going to be taking, or going to be able to take this thing to the next level. Obviously, that's going to be a journey in itself for a young quarterback to adapt to a new system, but I'll go back to just the way Ben communicates. I think we're going to be able to really get Caleb where he needs to be and elevate this whole team, end quote. I'm up first. Who has more pressure for success this year, Caleb Williams or Ben Johnson? I think the answer is Caleb Williams for me. I said this many times. Caleb Williams impressed me last year. He was much better than I thought he was going to be, and he handled things a lot better than I thought he was going to handle them. And so I got to say the pressure's not just on him because he is the actual player, number one overall pick. They want to figure out if he's the guy for the future. Ben Johnson's still going to be there even if Caleb Williams has a bad year. But I do think that Caleb Williams is facing some pressure to get better this year. What do you think, Tony?
The original question was who is under more pressure, Ben Johnson or Caleb Williams? I agree, it's Caleb Williams. I think Ben Johnson just is signing a new deal this year. He ain't even coached a day yet.
Yeah.
So he's going to at least have the grace period of this year. And not that Caleb Williams won't, but he's already had a season under his belt. There is going to be expectation that he take the next step, whatever that step is. And, I mean, shoot, he was under the microscope this year,
mm-hmm.
Pretty much every time he took the field.
Yeah.
I think he is right now, all of the quarterbacks in the NFL do it right. They're not making headlines outside of what their play is.
Mm-hmm.
And so they at least get that grace, right? Is they're not off the field getting into trouble. And so because they're not off the field getting into trouble, and we're just strictly talking about what they're doing on the field, and that's the way you want it to be. As you mentioned, Caleb Williams, first year in it, he handled himself very, very well, despite the scrutiny and despite, you know, whatever else
people
is out
there. People looking for something to be mad about.
Right, trying to create something in some cases.
Yeah,
I agree. I think it's Caleb Williams too.
I can't remember what game it was, but he was getting sacked a ton, and then he came down to the bench and he kind of like went like this, and people were just crushing him for it because they had nothing to crush him for all year. Like, I thought, yeah, he impressed me, and I might even draft him in fantasy football this year. We'll see.
Oh, listen to you. I have him as a keeper if I want him.
Oh, and like a late round too, I would assume. Like really late round.
I think it was might have been last round.
Number three.
Never forget when you kept Jameis Winston.
Yeah. One of my better.
At the time it was a good decision. You were getting a starting quarterback that could throw some touchdowns late, but he didn't do that for you. That's what happens in fantasy football. Another NFL topic. There's two more NFL topics, actually. Maybe this is going to be the rumored story of the offseason, but apparently reports from NFL media are saying the Raiders and Giants are interested in Matthew Stafford's services. My question is, in a vacuum, Tony, if you were Matthew Stafford, would you rather make $50 million on a bad team or $35 million on a team that has a chance at the postseason?
Well, I'm not Matthew. I'm not counting his pockets. But I don't know. It depends on where I'm at. You know, he won a title. I wouldn't be mad at him. He said, give me the 50 mil. My time is running out. I'm trying to collect as much. Go out here and maybe I can change this really bad team into a decent team before I get out of here. Or, you know, if he's hungry for another one, and he very well may be, you know, the team that take the 35 mil, which is not nothing.
Yeah, it's not
and,
nothing.
And go out and play for a team that has a bunch of tradition. I assume you're talking about the Raiders at this point.
No, the Rams.
But yeah,
Raiders and Giants were two teams that were interested in his services.
That's what I'm saying. You're talking about. Who did you have in mind when you were saying would you rather play for the better franchise or the worst.
I guess it would be generally, but let's do it that the way you're doing it. Like, would you rather play for the Giants and Raiders and make $50 million or $35 million and stay with the Rams?
They got Tom Brady over there. I'd rather play for the Raiders. And he supposedly, Matt Stafford supposedly spent some time with Tom on the ranch out in Montana recently.
Is that right?
I read that. I probably read it from the same place I saw that Green Bay was the culprits behind it. I don't remember where it was, but I definitely read it.
Of course Tom Brady has a ranch in Montana.
Like, why wouldn't he?
If you're a rich person, it's prerequisite. You've got to have a ranch in Montana.
He only played football for how many years?
Like 25.
And he was getting top dollar at least 15 of them. No, 13 of them.
He might be getting paid more money to announce games than he did during
playing
games.
Not to mention what he's making right now.
Yeah, he's making a lot.
Did not have enough money to buy ownership. He has bread, lots of it.
He's got bread. I think Matthew Stafford should stay with the Rams, but the Giants are an interesting little place because of Malik Nabers, basically.
That wasn't your question, whether he should stay with the Rams.
You're right. I would rather, for me, I'd rather take the $35 million and play for a team that has a chance at the postseason. I'm not into money, Tony. I work in this job. That's proven. What?
Well, I guess if you were actually good at, I'm picturing the Scraby that's on the mic right now. I guess if you were in that room, you'd be a pretty good quarterback, and you'd probably be doing okay. I got you. I'm envisioning you right now. I'm like, bruh, you better go ahead and take that $50 million. Because it's only going to be 1 year you're going to get it. So
Bluefin's 2! Bluefin's is on!
Don't do it.
The only reason I'm not an NFL...
right there, your cadence.
The only reason I'm not an NFL quarterback is because I dislocated my shoulder when I was 8 years old. That is what happened, Tony. Do not give me that face. All right, fine. I was never going to be an NFL quarterback, even if I didn't.
This is definitely going to be a carryover.
No, it's not. We're on number two.
Number two.
And we're going to talk about Jim Harbaugh. He was doing the media rounds at the NFL Combine. He stopped by Pro Football Talk with Mike Florio and Chris Sims. And when they asked him about Justin Herbert, he said this.
It's like being around greatness every single day. I mean, I would follow into the hell and back. I mean, I've never been around a competitor, you know, quite like him. Some great ones, but no doubt in my mind that Justin Herbert is not only one of the great quarterbacks in the NFL today, but truly one of the great quarterbacks of all time. That's
all time.
Tell me, he wouldn't get lost and end up wasting a bunch of time in practice. Just listen to that right there. Is proof that he would 100% end up accidentally wasting time because he was so passionate about whatever he was talking about at that point.
You're absolutely. I could see like an incompletion. I'll be like, stop the practice. It'd be like, you need to do this. But Justin is greatness. Everyone needs to talk about greatness with Justin. I could totally see that as well. Jim Harbaugh is always a big fan of his players, but sometimes I think he goes a little too far. I'm up first. We've heard the word delusional come up in regards to LA sports teams lately. Is Jim Harbaugh delusional? Yes, he's not one of the greatest quarterbacks in history, okay? He hasn't won anything yet. I think he's a good quarterback. I think that he will win something one day, but it's not right. It hasn't happened yet, and so you can't call him one of the best quarterbacks in history before he's, like, won a playoff game. But that's Jim Harbaugh. He's always going to back his guy, and that's what he did here. What do you think, Tony? Is Jim Harbaugh delusional?
Yeah, you know, they say there is some element of delusion in most of the great people that, you know, do great things. I think for players included, right? I mean, some of them have to be delusional in order to get to the level that they get to.
Yeah, you're right.
Otherwise you wouldn't get there, right? Because they're doing things that 100% have been told. There's no way on the planet that this happens for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
so there's got to be a little element of delusion. But I'm sorry, what was the question?
Is he delusional?
Yes, when it comes to Justin Herbert being
the greatest of all time.
Yeah, he's absolutely delusional.
Okay,
I can't add anything to. He hasn't won. Like he hasn't. He literally has struggled when it like really mattered.
This year in the playoffs, I think he threw four interceptions in his playoff game against the Texans.
No bueno.
No bueno. You know, this is not a political statement, but Jim Harbaugh and President Trump have a very similar way of delivering things. Just in the way that they use big words, you know, greatness and fantastic. Oh, he's a fabulous person. Jim Harbaugh is always like using these huge words.
I don't know. I don't know if I could see it. Maybe. Nah, I can't. I don't know.
All right, here come the DMs. Here come the DMs.
Number one.
There are some rumors out there that the LIV stars, LIV golf stars, who may be coming to the end of their contracts, may come back to the PGA Tour. Don't know that this will happen for sure, but rumors are out there saying Bryson DeChambeau wants to jump back to the PGA Tour when his LIV contract is up. My question is, Tony, how does the PGA Tour reward the guys that stuck around? Because basically, Bryson DeChambeau left the PGA Tour, got paid a ton of money for playing like 75% less, and he's coming back to, or supposedly coming back to the PGA Tour. How does the PGA Tour take care of the guys that stayed with them?
I think they already did. They gave him bonuses. They gave him all kinds of stuff.
Done signature tournaments.
Listen, I think the PGA Tour should take this seriously, because this may be your way to break LIV. If you just turn him away, where else is he going to go? He's going to go back to LIV.
Yeah.
Why not get one of the guys that left you to come back? That plants a seed. I don't know. I think if I'm the PGA, I'm welcoming Bryson DeChambeau back.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, I mean, listen, I would love the kumbaya of they both leagues figure it out and everybody is one. But we've got what now? This is about to be year
three?
Coming up?
Yeah.
Nothing done yet.
No.
So, I mean, listen, at some point, this is business. So, if I can hurt your business and get you up out of here, as a big business like these two are, oh, yeah, I got to get you up out of there.
I think this is going to work out well for the LIV players that decided to leave and take all the heat, and then they get their money, and then they get to go back.
Wait,
I think.
That, oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. For
it's
sure,
it's all going to work out for them. But I do think that LIV player or the PGA Tour players probably, as you said, like want some sort of closure to this, and so
for
they're
sure.
like, just come on back. Let's get this all back together.
Either that or the two sides need to get, but that don't seem like it's happening anytime soon.
I mean,
soon.
President Trump, second time I brought him up in the last 5 minutes, but he's trying to unify the LIV and PGA Tour, and it's not working. Like, each side just isn't working well with each other, so we'll figure it out.
Get to the happy hour on deck here. Quinn and Chris on the other side.